Yeah, we finally had the meeting today because our friend and freelancer for the Delaware Call is moving on. Zamora Moore is going to be covering Dover full time for the Delaware State News.
Congratulations!
Incredible. I mean, am I a proud unk? Yeah, kind of. Very, very happy for her. She's never been on the podcast. I've actually never even asked. Lisa's just been on a couple of weeks ago. No. Never asked her to be on because she is just a very mild-mannered, quiet person. And it's just in this concept that doesn't translate, really.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm super excited for her. It's really cool that, you know, it's like not only is she going to Delaware State News, but covering Dover because she's been covering Dover issues with us. And that's kind of how she got her name out there. And it's just like it's very dope. I'm very, very excited. And I also found out because I was speaking to our friend Lex, the old Gumboy told me that she was actually in the running for a job at the News Journal. He recommended her. There was a bunch of applicants. I didn't know it today until I asked her. She went through a bunch of interviews. And then they just were like, oh, we don't have that position anymore.
Interesting.
And Lexa said that was classic in that.
Classic. Oh, baby, it's not possible to leave in a lie. To leave in a lie. I guess it's not logical to say so right. To say so right.
Folks, this may or may not go out, but this is a proof of concept for patrons to see if we can start doing video stuff in here since the studio is just about done from all of the things we want to do. So, yeah, maybe you see it, maybe you don't. Are we going to be recording the audio for the episode, too?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the other thing I wanted to do before we get started, last week we spoke to Christina Elliott, whose nephew, who was with her, you know, in her immediate family, died in the custody of the Department of Corrections. And they need help with funeral expenses. I'm a big fan of what Drew Series calls radical transparency. They need like $8,100. When I checked, they had raised on their GoFundMe about $1,750. It was like approaching $2,000. So, you know, I know we're always kind of like, hey, support the podcast. You should do that. Get a t-shirt. You should do that. But in this holiday season, the first thing you should do is go click the GoFundMe and help them have a funeral for Richard, if you could. So thank you for that. From the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast, I'm Rob. This is the Highlands Bunker Podcast. Hello. We're coming to you sort of in an experimental way. Experimental, I think, is what we were
saying. Yeah. We're on the floor playing with synthesizers.
Yeah, yeah. There was a show I saw at that... What was that on? It was like at Broad and Washington Street. It was like an old country western bar.
Okay.
But
Boot and Saddle?
Boot and Saddle, correct. Yeah. I saw a show at the back of Boot and Saddle before it closed with like just a bunch of synthesizers and like lights that were just like lamps that were on but lying down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the artist was just moving around, changing all of the stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing.
It's pretty much. Carl's the one over there doing the thing. Carl, do you want to explain our pivot to video?
Yeah, so a lot of people say, oh, to pivot to video, you have to like get some nice DSLRs, you have to like fix your lighting, you have to make it look nice. No, you don't.
You
don't have to do that at all.
Nope.
There's a device that looks like an owl and is called an owl that is usually used for sort of just like low quality like meeting conferences, so you can like see people all at once. And we were like, oh, I guess you can just do that for a podcast too. And so we're going to try to do it for a podcast, see what happens.
Yeah, we did. We looked it up. That's why Bill's here. We looked it up to see if we needed to get all of that gear. and block out our lighting and all of that stuff. And apparently, you don't have to.
Yeah, unnecessary.
It's a little bit grainy. Does look like it's being filmed in a bunker, but it is.
But that's the whole appropriate. That's sort of like the whole point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, when we get sort of the all of the bunker accoutrements back up, which is happening soon.
The old lamp.
That old lamp. It's funny. I touched one of the light switches over there.
Don't
joke. I felt something. I'm like, is something going on over there? So I don't know.
All right.
I had to take the smoke detector down because I smoke weed in here and it goes off all the time. But yeah, I'm very careful.
It's okay.
To a certain extent. And we all got to go sometime. But yeah, I'm excited to get some of the stuff back in here. For people who have been here before the remodel, you know, it was really, I just like to stuff a lot of stuff in it and kind of make it like crazy. And so after the remodel, we're sort of going with a more sort of modern theme to it. And some of the art is going back up that we had, a few pieces. There are a few pieces that are new that are going up. But yeah, it's going to be a whole new scene in here. And yeah, we'll share it with you. It'll look like a hostage video because kind of more or less that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what we get with the owl.
Yeah. What you get? You get. Look, we'll hold up today's Delaware Business Times,
right?
And we'll be like, we have to do that because we're going to be sponsored by them, like Spotlight.
God willing.
Shoo, inshallah.
Hmm.
So, what I wanted to do today is just at the end of the year here, sort of get me caught up on some of the news of the day that we haven't covered, that we're probably going to cover a lot in the first quarter of next year, like in the new year, especially because the legislative session is starting. But famously, I follow the news at an extremely superficial level.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the details of like what John Carney does don't really matter because I just know that they're bad. And I'm like, oh, he's fucking up Christina Park, and he's trying to kill homeless people. Okay, well, I knew that already. I don't really need to. I don't need to read 19 paragraphs on it.
Mm-mm.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like it'll wake me up pretty early in the morning for him to trick me. Think he's good. So there's stuff that I know is happening, but I don't know anything about it. And I have three topics, and I'm hoping that we can sort of get everybody. And, you know, get the anticipation up for next year, and you can explain sort of where they stand now. First topic, Julianne Murray. Julianne Murray, the kooky Republican chair, is she the chair of the party?
She was.
She was the chair of the party. Somehow she was going to be, she's always the one, she was the one with either the tax brackets or the vote by mail that's filed suit for vote by mail.
Yeah. And
she was either the attorney or the party in the suit. I don't remember. But somehow she was involved.
And was she kind of, she was an attorney general candidate as well?
I think she used to be either attorney general or no, I'm thinking about Jane Brady.
You're thinking about Jane Brady.
No, she ran for governor in 2020.
Oh.
So here's what I can gather. Through some sort of, you know, Trump is able to sniff out, you know, the most insane sort of lunatics that, you know, he needs to be placed in these, like, oh, who's going to run for, like, this position in Florida to try to do something with an election? You got to put, you know, that person. So Julianne Murray gets appointed or nominated for the U.S. attorney, but they don't like her. And somehow we're able to say, you're not going to be, you got to get out. And then she probably heard what we were going to do, and she pivoted to video.
Mm-hmm.
DETV put a video up on YouTube of her complaining about getting kicked out.
And our beloved senators.
Yeah. Did I watch the video? I did not.
No.
We're not even going to link to it because who gives a shit? But she was mad that I guess the federal delegation did something in the Senate to be like, Lisa and Coons were like, I don't think so. And kind of put the kibosh on it. But I don't know how that even works or what they did. Or you said something had to do with something in New Jersey. What the fuck is going on here?
How about, I mean, what if we turn to our boy Lex? Would you, because I'm basically in the same boat as you. Carl probably knows more than us, but not really. This is like not, it's not really doing it for me too
much.
It's
not really my area of expertise.
But one of my favorite journalists.
It's not my area of expertise either. We're just making stuff up.
All right, so let's see what Lex says.
Okay.
The resignation of Delaware's U.S. attorney this week is part of a nationwide fight over President Donald Trump's push to install loyalists in top federal law enforcement positions across the country. Julianne Murray, the former chair of Delaware's Republican Party, resigned as a U.S. attorney on December 12th, a position she'd tenuously held without required congressional approval since her temporary appointment by the Trump administration earlier this summer. She cited a recent court ruling by a federal appeals court that disqualified a similar Trump appointee, a U.S. attorney in New Jersey. I think that is Alina Haba.
Alina Haba.
If you're familiar with her from one of Trump's New York City cases that was, I think, like, was filmed or was it was broadcast live? I don't know if you recall this at all. I remember some like vivid pictures from it. The judge was kind of a character, if I recall.
I have a vague recollection.
It was sort of Trump at his nadir, like in the Joe Biden offseason.
Yeah, because he was in the dock.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey, we're gonna get your ass," and he was like, "You're probably not going to." Yeah,
exactly. No one thought he'd become president again. She also took a parting shot at Delaware's Senate delegation that didn't support her permanent appointment for what she described as highly politicized and flawed reasoning. "The people that think they've chased me away will soon find out that they're mistaken," she said in a resignation statement that indicated she'll continue to work within Delaware's federal prosecutor's office. Upon Murray's resignation, Delaware's district court judges appointed Ben Wallace, her top deputy.
Ben Wallace, didn't
Ben Wallace,
for,
the hooper.
Didn't that the guy hoop for the Washington Bullets, I think, back in the day? Didn't he go to North Carolina?
I think so. I want to say Detroit Pistons, maybe too.
Maybe Pistons, yeah.
A powerful position that instigates and oversees prosecutions of federal crimes and acts as the federal government's representative in other legal matters in the state. While the president has appointment power and their candidate of choice often reflects their political party, these positions have historically been viewed as apolitical enforcers of federal law that come from prosecutorial backgrounds, not politics, and are moored to the law, not the president's social media postings. Trump's second term has seen a shift in that, with his administration pushing to install loyalists without prosecutorial legal backgrounds that in some cases have been blatantly devoted to the president's encroachment of power upon the legal checks of Congress and the judiciary. But the requirement that U.S. attorneys be approved by the Senate is becoming one of the administration's highest hurdles in its expansion of executive power. It ultimately caused what became a standoff between the Trump administration, Delaware's congressional delegation that led to Murray never being put to Congress for approval and her eventual resignation. I did not have complete confidence that Julianne Murray had the experience in criminal prosecution, in managing and supervising a complex office, and demonstrating political independence that met the moment we're currently in, said Delaware Sen. Chris Coons in an interview after her resignation.
D. Highlands.
D. Highlands, that's right.
So here's a question.
Yeah.
Does it mention in that piece any of Ben Wallace's, the real Ben Wallace Esquire's, background, age, like age, where he's from, anything like that?
Where did he go to high school?
I think I know the answer to this question, so I'm asking it because I thought I saw that he was 35.
It's something like that.
He looks to be about 35. He does not look like he's shaved before.
It does look pretty bad when Coons is like, "We need some, this person doesn't have any prosecutorial heavy-duty prosecutorial experience. Ben Wallace doesn't have any heavy-duty any experience.
Facial hair.
I mean, the guy has he been laid? I mean, we don't know. The guy looks like he's like the baby-faced assassin. It's just weird. The whole thing's fucking bizarre. I mean, and I love when people who are blatantly political in every way are like, "I can't believe they're playing politics with this."
Right.
Okay. You got us. You got our ass.
How could they make a political move to block the chair of the Delaware Republican Party from serving in a non-political judicial spot?
I mean, It just doesn't make any sense.
Do you think that Coons was troubled, or like that he furrowed his brow at times about the blue slip decision?
Do you think, he definitely.
Do you think he was like,
all six creases on his forehead and bald dome, all crinkled up?
I don't know if you've seen the HBO John Adams series.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Giamatti.
With Giamatti.
Yeah, it's good.
And there's a scene where he's about to sign the Alien and Sedition Act that basically would have like made it a crime to be mean to him, which we have a long history of that in America. But the way they portray it in the show is like, it's on his desk, it's like in his bedroom, and he's like, the candlelight, and he's like going back and forth. He's like, oh my God, I'm not gonna be able to do it. Oh my God. And then he finally does it, because of course he did, which in real life he didn't actually have that much of a thing about it. But yeah, that's what Chris Coons was doing the other night. To do something that wasn't bipartisan.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, not the most exciting story. I guess there was the other kind of interesting GOP story in Spotlight a week or two ago about the state party that is like in the red and is maybe paying its executive director a consultancy fee or something.
Well, paying his LLC a consultancy fee.
Right.
Yeah.
Classic move.
Classic move. I don't know.
I mean, look, if there's one thing I don't stand on is pretense. And the more corrupt and blatantly inept and just overtly sort of chud political for no good reason other than you're just like a Julianne Murray is just basically a female chud. It's just like for no other reason than to do that, that's what they're doing. And so hopefully this kind of stuff allows us to sort of drop the pretense of it. Like, yeah, so this guy's the executive director. Now, the Delaware Democratic Party has like a chair.
Yeah. Do they have, an executive
director? They have an executive director.
Kind of.
Okay.
Is it an open position right now?
No, it is being filled.
Okay.
Right. It's been filled. We know the person.
Some guy.
Not from Delaware.
Ah, so boo. Some guy. We don't even know where he went to high school.
And if he's listening right now, please get Vote Builder up and running again. It's very annoying right now.
Sir, please. Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's some guy. Can you please get Vote Builder? I don't know what that is, but people are saying more and more people every day that you should get Vote Builder back up and running.
We need to get our API keys approved, please.
Let me ask you this, because is there a, like a deputy?
There is, but she doesn't have, and she's not really a deputy. I think she's just like a person who's around right now.
Mm-hmm.
So some gal. We got some guy and some gal.
Yeah.
It's a real shoestring operation. I've been in there before.
You think they would be, it's like in the back, it's behind the Wawa on by Route 13. If you get off the Newcastle exit.
I think it's by a Social Security Administration office as well.
Maybe,
or something.
Yeah. And it's like.
That's fair. That's actually, I like that.
Yeah.
It didn't
like, hey, I think that's great.
We are the ones who gave you this.
Right. Yeah.
It's pretty good, actually.
Isn't what it
appears good branding.
To be a like meat packing plant of some sort?
Yeah,
also good
that
branding.
Too.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like the upstairs office that, yeah, I mean, it's a nice enough office. They have a bunch of pictures of like,
and I
Jimmy
suppose,
Carter
and I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Some rare Carpers.
Yeah.
They got that treasure.
A table with a lot of
They got Carper being sworn in as treasurer. Yeah. next to a,
well, they're right by the News Journal building too, so.
Yeah.
They can just get all the old, old negatives.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that those two people, we don't even know who they are probably not funneling money into an LLC operated by one of those two individuals.
As far as I can tell, they're generally above board.
Huh. That's what the nonprofit sector is for, Rob.
Yes.
How dare you?
Oh, sorry.
You got my ass.
Sorry.
No, you're absolutely correct about that. So that's the name of that tune.
Mm-hmm.
The second part, and I say I alluded to this. I made an allusion a few weeks ago about a dream that I had, a very real dream. And I was imparted the lesson of a parable in that dream about a hole, a pointless pit, and I made some comments there that I want to expound on, if I could.
Please.
Because every day, I'm looking at the news. More Perfect Union is very good on this. Drop Site is very good on this. I'm actually reaching out to a friend of ours at one of those places, actually both of those places, to start talking about the work they're doing on, like, everybody rising up in unison across the country with pitchforks and torches and saying, no data centers, fuck you, we're done with this bullshit.
This shit sucks.
This shit sucks. You're stupid. Yeah. Eat shit.
Yeah.
And they're going crazy. They're coming out to municipal meetings, and they're like, "You better not allow this, or we're gonna burn you at the stake." And municipalities are passing very harsh regulatory things. They're canceling any development of these kind of things because they're incredibly bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the flip side, from what I understand, is. This is the illusion part from the dream, if anybody sort of couldn't get this out of it. There will be a group of people that will make money off of doing the thing. Just like there are groups of people that make money that make the planes and the bombs that massacre kids. It's big business, actually,
mm-hmm.
from what I understand.
It's complex.
Just like people make a lot of money from... now again, we should ask about this owl. Is this like, are we transmitting directly to Palantir with this?
Or China?
Does that go or China? I'd actually prefer.
I prefer
that.
The latter.
Yeah. Chairman Xi, we're ready.
Good evening.
Hello.
In the shadow of Robert Tower.
Yeah, I mean,
don't forget
let me
about
say,
us.
Let me say, Mihai. yeah. So there is a. A huge American tradition of making money on the very thing that will kill us. So I get that part of it. But is there going to... I assume there's going to be another phase of people standing up like they stood up elsewhere to be like, we don't want this. Go fuck yourself. Or are the corporate developers and the big trades just... No one can stop them.
I don't. I mean, know if I know it's settled
some
yet.
People. I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't know what is. My understanding was that part of it was settled and part of it wasn't, and so you couldn't stop the first phase. And that, mm-hmm. and to me, that's the thing. Like once the first phase
the
goes
dominoes,
up, whatever energy there's going to be to go out to council meetings or whatever, or you know, DENREC meetings or whatever. All that energy is going to plummet as soon as they, you know, put a fence around there and start building it. So it doesn't matter whether it's the first of three phases. The first phase is that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't like that's it. So that's where I'm like because that was my understanding. Now maybe that's not true. I don't. Do you know? You said maybe it's not settled.
I think that the willpower is there to an extent for the council to basically like give the developers carte blanche to build whatever and wherever, but there's also sort of a growing popular sentiment among constituents that these are bullshit for all the reasons that you said. And it kind of seems to cross-section sort of the political ideology. What I'll say too, it's because it's unpopular. I think it's wildly unpopular to have this in your backyard.
That's the thing is like, it's wildly unpopular. The political tide seems to be turning in sort of a direction to start being more populist one way or the other. And then you see like what's her name, Janice Kilkenny Kilpatrick.
Who maybe retiring.
Like, but if we don't do this,
yeah.
It won't get built. Correct.
Yeah.
Nobody wants it built. That's the
right.
whole point.
Right, no one
point.
Wants it built.
The only people that want it built are the people who are going to make a lot of money from building it.
Right.
The impact of it, which we know is fucking terrible, is going to be felt by the people who live there. And, you know, and the people who have to pay, the people whose expenses like energy and water are a bigger portion of their income. We'll just say that. that can't move to gated communities, don't have new homes, you know, don't have all that, don't have the amenities that the rich people are going to have. That's it. We don't want it. Yes, you're correct. We want to regulate it from a governmental level so that it can't be done. That's the role of the government, as a voice of the people, to exercise what's popular and not build the shit that's going to make our lives worse, to enrich, you know, 100 people.
Especially not one that would be like the second largest in the country. I think that there's just something kind of perverse about that part of it too. I'm starting to think that, like, I wonder if people are starting to resent artificial intelligence as well. Like, they see that, like, this shit, like, is making my kids fucking stupid.
I love that. I didn't want to get into this, but we can. The AI thing fascinates me. We've never talked about it.
We haven't.
Before,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People are starting to turn on it.
I hope so. I don't know. I have like the little bud of a theory that's like, I think I'm starting to see generationally it sort of leech itself onto boomers, which I think could be perceived as sort of like uncool, uncouth, cringe by younger people. The problem with that theory, I think, is still that like a lot of kids are just using it constantly for school. So maybe it's then seen not as like, not in the slop context that we are familiar with it being adults, but maybe it's more like, okay, this is some part of learning. It's like how we used to go to the library and have to use the tools that were available to us there. I don't know. I'm still thinking it through. But I do feel a tide turning that people are starting to realize this is fucking stupid. It's making us dumber. It treats us with contempt.
And it's not doing promising that it was going to do. Like, yeah, it might be able to do computations and stuff and run stuff.
Well, no, it actually cannot do computations.
And it can.
It's very good at synthesizing information.
Yeah, it's almost like... Google was the word of the year when the search engine started getting good.
Yeah.
Google was the word of the year because people were using it as a verb to say, take the action of looking something up on the internet, basically, and figuring out the way to write something in. It used to have, now you can just write the thing in there and it'll come up, or at least the AI thing and then the stuff, and then maybe on page two you see something you want. But it used to be you had to think about putting in keywords, and then you would get all
Boolean searches.
Yeah, and then you would get, you know, info.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, Wikipedia started to be a thing, and kids are writing papers off of Wikipedia. So the idea that they're using ChatGPT, I don't really give a shit. Because people who know, and you can look at something and tell whether they read the Cliff Notes,
mm-hmm,
or used Wikipedia, or used ChatGPT. This is not a new concept. I'm talking about the idea that, you know, who knows where this video is going, or like what Palantir is doing, like a surveillance thing,
mm-hmm,
which is going to get way out of control. But like, it can't really do anything. It's all like, the guy was on one of the late night shows. It's like, yeah, I asked it how to raise my kid. Like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Man. Like, do you think that that's a good, do you think the way people are using AI, is a good advertisement for AI? I don't. And I don't know what it's doing. I don't know what the potential of it is. This is the thing I was going to mention. There's a book coming out by Robert Wright, and I like Robert Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always like to talk to him. Maybe I'll reach out to him if I can get through this AI book. But like, there's a thing that people are saying it could do, which seems very far-fetched, as Carl said. And there's a thing that we see it doing that's stupid.
Yeah.
That adds no value and is dumb. So, like, how long can we go with that charade? Like, oh, we're going to promise it's going to do all of this. But actually, it's just like Cliff Notes and, like, dumb shit. It's like Googling.
Yeah.
Like, being able to talk to, like, you know, a robot. Who cares?
Well, it's a pliant machine with a female voice that tells you that you're a goody-good boy. That seems to be the benefit that most folks are getting from it. There was Francis Fukuyama actually just published something this week. It was like, I've come to love working with ChatGPT because it's so nice to me.
Mm.
For fuck's sake. I will say, when I got the iPad and some readers now, because my vision's, you know, cooked. So I can set up on one of my news readers, different voices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a very pleasant, like, British Indian woman. Reminds me of my friend Loretta, Bert's wife Loretta, reading me the news. So that's nice.
That sounds
wonderful. But I know it's a fake voice. Like, it's like they just made a voice sound like my friend Loretta. Like, that. Like, that's stupid. Like, it's nice that it reads it to me, but, like, I'm not infatuated with it. I'm not going to be like, wow.
Yeah. Well, what you got to do, like the former head of Business Insider, this was from earlier this year, he wrote an article about how he was building out his AI office because he was had gone freelance and he felt a little bit lonely. And so he created a project manager, a ChatGPT project manager, and then a couple other writers and editors through ChatGPT. And then he asked it to generate photos of each of these people so he can imagine like who he's working with. And then he immediately falls in love with the first person he creates and starts flirting with her. And because it's ChatGPT, it's always going to tell you whatever you want to hear. And so he's like, is this inappropriate? And she's like, absolutely not. This is totally fine. And so then he's like generating pictures of like the whole team out for like a team building session. It's really cool stuff.
Sounds like a cure to loneliness. Come on, Carl.
Yeah. It's the male loneliness. He's fixing the male loneliness epidemic.
That's so dark. You know, I don't know, man. This male loneliness epidemic.
That's what podcasting is for.
That's what this is for, guys. Well, I was about to say something.
So,
because if you're watching the video,
let me get real.
You'll see, may not have known this before, that it's three white guys.
Exactly.
So I will tell you this. I thought about it this week, and I don't remember if it was because I was very high at one point, or I might have had some sort of epiphany. Or maybe I was thinking about this in some fashion. I think I might have been, this might have come from like this male loneliness talk and like, you know, all of the bad things that comes from it. When I got divorced, as you guys know, it was it was really something. But it was like 2009, 2010.
Business is booming.
Business is booming.
Just kidding.
I had made, actually the collapse of the housing market actually worked in my favor. I feel like sort of the Big Short guys.
Yeah, you kind of nailed it.
You nailed
the market.
In any event, it was a shitty people I knew at work were getting fucking fired and laid off, and I went to move in to like a spare bedroom and like floor of a guy's house who was just he bought a huge house in the Triangle. He broke up with the woman he was dating who had a kid, and now he was living in this huge house by himself and spiraling into worse and worse alcoholism. I was living in a room in his house, like at probably the lowest time of my life, for real, no bullshit. And I never thought about that went on for about a year. And I never thought like to talk to an AI because I'm not a fucking loser. Like I might have been lonely and I might have been sad, suicidal some days, abusing drugs, living in a very, very sort of not good atmosphere. I love my housemate, but he was in a very dark place too. And but I never was like mad at the fucking government or like video games.
Yeah.
Because I was a grown man. I wasn't a fucking loser. Yeah, I was lonely and sad, and luckily, for all bunch of different reasons, mostly Nurse Susan, I was able to fucking turn my life around a little bit. But yeah, like I was never like, oh, you know what, really, you know why I'm in this position? Video games. Mm. They hate young men.
Well, you know, the issue was they hadn't invented wokeness yet. I think if they'd had wokeness back then,
wokeness was invented.
Then,
yeah,
you know, maybe that would have looked a little bit different.
That's true. I might have been woke.
Yeah,
I could have been woke then. I don't know. Possible.
You were watching Joe Rogan on old episodes of News Radio instead of watching his podcast.
You know what?
You probably were.
Pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, I was doing all kinds. And the other thing was, you know, while I still had basically the same politics I have, I was working at a bank. I was driving a luxury car. I was spending, you know, bunch of income. Now that I have, you know, now that I'm just paying my buddy $500 a month to basically live in a whole floor of a big house.
Yeah.
I mean, just cocaine was purchased. It was acquired by people. I don't know. But again, I never was like, you know, I don't know. Maybe because I was a little bit older. You know, I was 35, something like that, late 30s. But I was in a real bad headspace, and I did stuff that, like, I did some chud stuff. I was a huge Stern fan. I'm actually still a huge Stern fan. I don't care, that shit was funny. Yeah, it was out, a lot of us was out of line when you look back on it, but a lot of movies are out of line when you look back on them. So let's just, you know, put that where it needs to be. But yeah, I was kind of like, I was still real self-centered and didn't understand how to get out of that part of it. But yeah, I never, like, Reddit existed. I was just not interested in it because that was for losers.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that the internet didn't exist. It wasn't that I couldn't go into, like, chat rooms or go on. Social media existed, Facebook and all that.
You never went into the comment sections of any, like, blogs or websites.
I did do that. You goddamn got my ass.
Got
there.
Your ass.
Yeah, yeah. I was a big shit poster on Delaware Liberal under a pseudonym. I mean, I people who know. People who don't. I don't give a shit. But yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I did. I definitely exhibited poor judgment and very bad behavior. Maybe antisocial behavior. But it didn't turn me into a fucking Nazi. And I don't fucking get it. And again, I think it's because I'm old. I don't know how to deal with younger people. You know, when I was 20 years old, if somebody said Nazi shit, you just punched them in the face.
Yeah.
And that was it. You're at school, it didn't matter. It's school. Who gives a shit? Guy said racist thing, he got his shit kicked in. And that was dealt with. There's not enough fist fights in schools, in my opinion.
Something I've been toying around with, maybe to save for, like, whatever the opposite of sweeps week is in podcasting. But, you know,
a great question.
Carl is familiar with this too, and it's like the style of Delaware political adjacent influencer on Facebook, primarily, obviously, is, I think, it's dovetailing with the loneliness to a degree, because there's like this core of attempted influencers, and I'm toying with this idea still. Carl helped out with the name. The Data and Transparency Coalition of the Insane is kind of what I'm thinking about, and I think I might work on a power rankings at some point. But they're using AI, they're using ChatGPT to synthesize all this publicly available data, and I'm going to borrow some. I heard an amazing, was it from the Chapo this week, where Felix was talking about there's a certain type of person, a certain type of girl who gets like addicted to things that you could buy at gas stations, and then puts all these documents together, gets AI to look at it, spits out the numbers, and is like, see, the numbers say that Starbursts give you HIV AIDS. And it's like, that's kind of what's coming down the pike. And I think it also relates to the next topic of that you'd like to address. Yeah. Because everything is politicized in this weird way. Everything is like an emergency. Everything is a scandal until it's not. And then it's like it's on to this next thing. And it's like, I don't know. It's
I didn't
very
notice
troubling.
That. I because I don't fuck with it, I didn't notice how much of the, and it started with, a lot of it started with the reassessment, the triad.
That's where I first picked it up.
Yeah, and all this.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I think they were also going insane during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And but then, I don't remember any of these
but
people.
This, but for some reason, they all popped up like in the last, I think reassessment kind of like activated a lot of people.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, we've referenced the triad and the
right.
Dark triangle.
Yes,
many,
these
many
are
times.
The triad people.
This is where that comes from. Yeah. Was someone in like Katie Ledzinski's comments?
Yes.
Saying that there was like a conspiracy between BlackRock,
Vanguard,
and
State Street,
something like that. And they just have a really clearly made with AI, because it's like a little bit off, but like a triangle that has Delaware in the middle and those three things yes. on the side. And so, yeah, everything is part of a growing conspiracy.
Yes.
Where it doesn't all have to, like, it all has the same kind of theme, but doesn't necessarily all directly relate to each other.
But I did mention in here to Brandon Toole, and then I also, we talked about it in relation to one of the special hearings in the series of special hearings about the reassessment, about even elected officials, politicians being like,
oh, yeah,
I ran this through ChatGPT and it said X.
Yeah.
Or I tried to figure out what this, you know, what the definition of this, how you calculate this variable. So I just asked the AI, like, you shouldn't be saying that shit.
Or like legislators engaging with these imbeciles.
Yeah.
This is not fake.
The machine is spitting out a bunch of correlations to make like a story for psychopaths and maniacs.
Yeah.
And it didn't hit me until like last week or when one of our, maybe we shouldn't call them out unless they do something really nasty right now. They're not really, they're kind of just funny. Mm-hmm. If somebody needs to be called out, and you know who you are, you will be fucking called out. Posted on Facebook a bunch of like AI photos of themselves, like in different scenes, like behind bars for free speech.
Right.
If we're talking about the Coalition of the Insane, I feel like we might as well talk about this.
Fucking do it.
Because, yeah, this is what prompted my Coalition of the Insane remark.
Yeah.
Because Shannon Troncoso, who former Christina school board member, has been going through something. I don't know exactly what, but clearly started changing her behavior pretty rapidly around the time that she got elected to the school board. And then there was a whole bunch of random stuff that we're not going to get into over the first, the three, 4 months that she was on school board, and then she resigned like a few weeks ago, basically saying like, oh, I don't have time for this anymore. Like,
I think she cited transparency.
Yeah, transparency. Concerns,
which is, again, I can't tell if that's why we need to build the data centers so we can get more data and more transparency, because there's just got to be a vessel for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, data and transparency are real social drivers these days.
That's true. Yeah, it's very important.
They drive me socially.
But she's posted like a bunch of stories that all basically revolve around the fact that like, oh, the progressive left liked me at the beginning, but as soon as I started asking questions and as soon as I started like digging in and like challenging their heroes, suddenly they all turned on me. So they had one for...
She posted that poor photo of the guy who ran for governor.
Colin, yeah.
Obviously.
So I saw that one. Obviously, she's had this ongoing thing with
like
Doug
a grocery
Manley.
Store.
There's all sorts of different stuff where it's like, all they, I'm sure Medina and Eric Morrison have both been in this because they were both like, they both get involved in like Christina school board stuff because that's their district. And so it's all clearly part of this grand conspiracy that they're all trying to hide the truth and do this and that. And the simple answer to what happened was you were acting normal. And so they were like, oh, this lady seems like she could be good. Like she seems like she's on the right side of things. And then you started acting crazy. And they were like, what's going on with this lady? And then you didn't respond well to that, so you started acting more crazy, and then they all distanced themselves from you.
Yeah.
Because you asked questions. It's because you completely shifted everything that you said you were going to do when you were running for school board, and then started posting long, unhinged Facebook rants.
And, like, stopped going to meetings.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'd like to say this. As someone who didn't know her from anybody, when she was going to run for school board, I had an exchange with Doug about this person's going to run. Do you want to meet them, talk to them, whatever? And I did my due diligence, and I was like, no. They're a Zionist. They're posting, like, stand with Israel. I'm like, absolutely not. They're a no from me and anybody I'm going to talk to. And then she turned up at an event that Medina was doing about her documentary. I didn't really know it was her, but I talked to her for a few minutes, and I could tell she was, like, off. You know when you talk to somebody and you're like, they're a little bit off. Now, I thought maybe she was nervous for being at that event. They just seem off to me. So I was a no electorally and neutral sort of socially from the beginning. So let's not talk about leftist friends. You're in politics. Like, that's all that is. Nobody was, like, as Carl said, you know, you were acting quasi-normal. My concern was that about a month ago, either she had a stroke and posted through it for a day and a half, or fabricated the symptoms of having a stroke, being at the hospital, posting, you know, just can't type, you know, your whole, you're melting down, which is a scary fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, posted through it and has gotten worse with the conspiracy theories and all of that. And what I've said from the beginning of this downfall is I hope I'm sad. It makes me sad because someone in her life that loves her needs to help. Needs to say, look, get off the internet. You know, we can let's reconnect with what something you like to do. Let's get you some, maybe, you know, help that you might need or get your mind calm. And it's sad that nobody's doing that, in my opinion. So that's all I got to say about it. But yes, you are going to be on the deranged. What's it called?
Data and Transparency Coalition of the Insane.
Yeah.
Data and transparency. So we are being totally transparent.
Yeah, we have to be.
You got
radical transparency.
Yeah. If you're not transparent, you're part of it. You're part of the triangle.
That's right. And that's why because I'm radically transparent, I can never be accused of any conspiracy whatsoever.
Yeah. Even though you did live in the triangle, as you just said earlier.
It's like finding out.
Actually, yeah, if you
think
about
it. It's like finding out Pete Buttigieg went to Somalia for like 9 months and you're like,
yeah, actually,
what the fuck was he doing?
So we all lived in the triangle.
I'm just thinking about it. We all lived in the triangle,
the
and I'm
same
looking
time,
at how we are laid out right now.
We lived in the triangle.
We are in a triangle. You
all,
won't be able to tell if you're looking at the video.
We all,
are laid out in the triangle.
We all lived in the triangle at the same time.
Yeah.
We're positioned in a triangle right now. We all graduated from De La Warr High School the same year. Yeah, little known fact. It's all coming together now.
Now, McCullough. You guys know that.
I would never call it that name.
I would never.
A single tear falling.
You know what?
Like,
that
they
is
need
a
to
great,
get back in the correct wrestling tournament.
That is such a fucking great segue. And because I'm a great broadcaster, we're going to use that segue to segue into the last question.
Topic number three.
And then I'm going to tell a story, and maybe we'll do that as a bonus for Christmas because it's a Christmas story. The Reading Consortium, which I love the name because Lewis Redding, obviously a Wilmington hero, and consortium is a fancy way to say task force, to not have to say task force. So both of those things I'm like cheeky, you know. They've made some sort of decision. There's been a vote of some kind.
There was.
I really don't know what the thing is that's on the table. I don't know what the next steps are. And I don't even really understand the arguments for and against. I did see that Carney was a no vote, which is funny.
Well, until he was a yes vote.
Then he was a yes, but he was a no. I thought it was Den who was a no, who said he didn't support it, but then
no, that was Carney.
They both kind of said that.
I think
though.
Maybe they both said it, but yeah. Carney was like, I'm going to do it for unity, apparently. I was not
That's
watching
live. That's fucking awesome. Good for him.
That guy's, I'll tell you what, he's really coming
Inspiring.
Around. Inspiring. He's inspirational shit, man. So they're doing something. Let's start with the easy part, I guess.
Yeah.
What did the vote do?
It began Delaware's white genocide.
Yeah. Is that what ChatGPT said? What if you put into ChatGPT, what did ask Grok what the Reading Consortium did?
Yeah.
I'd actually be very curious about that.
But what? I am curious now, but we're not going to do it because I refuse to use that tool.
So this is something I'm not going to pretend to be anything close to an expert on, but I believe the Reading Consortium grew out of a similar task force. Maybe it was given more authority this time. I'm pretty sure it's in state code now, like exactly what's supposed to happen.
They're getting a lot of money, too.
They've got a lot of money, and I think it's been about six years of research and writing papers and doing
homework.
So
yeah, it used to be the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission.
Yeah.
And then there, before that, there was, or around the same time, the Wilmington Education Advisory Committee.
Sponsored by ChristianiCare.
There was a Wilmington Education Task Force.
Presented by Capital One.
There was something in the 90s as well, but I don't have it listed here.
Yeah, and I knew it went back. In the interest of full disclosure, transparency once again.
Thank you.
I do have a feeler out to our friend Tizzy Lachman to come in and give us an update on this, because that, like you were saying, like you're like, we don't have anybody. I was like, actually, we do know somebody who knows all about it. So I'm trying to have Tizzy come in and find some time. It's difficult because we've got the holidays and then the session starts. But we're trying, because I am interested, because they took away my Dealey War. That's why I'm.
Yeah.
And before I get into the stuff I read about it, can you explain, like, so they're just trying to consolidate. I thought it was Wilmington, but is it like the Newcastle County above the canal?
Have you seen a map of what the school districts look like presently? Like, and how they hit the city of Wilmington?
Yeah, it looks
good. Can you imagine it in your head?
It's like how Austin, Texas is gerrymandered.
Similar.
No, well, gerrymanders are still technically not allowed to be non-contiguous, whereas
this one
Wilmington school districts are very much non-contiguous.
Non-contiguous, yeah.
When I worked for Colonial School District, worked my way through school, like in the 90s, mid-90s, say. And the original East Side Charter School was actually a school, an elementary school in the Colonial School District called Martin Luther King Elementary School.
There's so many weird, like,
and I always
dumb rules.
When I realized
like
that was the case, I'm like, it's on the east side of Wilmington. Why is it in fucking Colonial? It doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah. So I think that's something that's helpful to kind of understand why, what was the purpose behind this consortium. And the ultimate vote you asked about, there were three maps to get basically, I think, I don't know all the details, but it felt like a foregone conclusion that the Colonial and Christina school districts would no longer have a presence in the city of Wilmington. And me now, 2025,
so it's just Red Clay and Brandywine.
Brandywine, that's sort of where the map lines may be redrawn. But like, I'm thinking about how like reassessment and property assessment also has a role here. And like, I imagine that is what is a major factor in how lines are being withdrawn. Or being redrawn. And yeah, there's one map that would make, Carl, can you state it better than me? I know Red Clay and Brandywine could split city students.
The River Plan,
which I think somehow notched out the triangle and kept it in Red Clay, even though similarly situated neighborhoods.
I think
something's going on in the triangle.
Red Clay.
What's that?
I think everything, well, and so there was multiple plans. But it also should be said.
And also one of the plans had three sub-plans. So I think there were like five maps technically in play.
Yeah. But the one they voted on
is it's all a moot point.
Everything.
It's everything.
We're going to party like it's 1978.
Yep.
Because, I think some context also, just for those who have not steeped themselves in their educational history, is we used to have like a million school districts. And in 1968, they consolidated them.
We went from way too many to just too many.
To a state with more chickens than people.
It used to be a school district for every school, was my understanding.
Yeah.
And then they consolidated it, and so they had like slightly fewer, but it's still like dozens and dozens. But they put Wilmington all in one district, and turns out that is not allowed because Wilmington was the only black school district apart from D-Law War.
Nice.
Go Warriors.
Single tier.
And basically, there's an argument in the 70s that this was segregation, because it basically was. And so there was a big desegregation plan in 1978, and it basically combined all of the what is now Colonial, Christina, Brandywine, Red Clay into one big school district and said, this is the school district.
Do you know where those four districts, like, in existence prior to that? Or are they sort of fictions?
I don't know if those names were around. I don't think they were.
Okay. I'm just curious how historical they are.
Yeah.
Because people are making it sound like,
like this, probably, well, it's 40 years.
It is kind of a while.
So, and then they cut that bigger school district up into four districts that are the present day Red Clay, Brandywine, mm-hmm. Christina. But they each of them had to have a bit of Wilmington so that there could be busing. It was, I think, 9 years. The white kids would go into the black city schools for 3 years. And then their normal white schools for 9 years, and then vice versa. The city kids would go into the county for nine years and stay in the city for 3 years to basically achieve a certain level. This went on for about 15-ish years, and then in 1990, sometime in the 90s, they overturn this busing, say like, oh, it's all fine, we don't need it anymore. And so the schools then slowly started to resegregate over the following 20-plus years. I mean, more of that was accomplished, I think, by... This is a big debate now, is like how much of that was because of desegregation or because of district lines, and how much of that was because of charters and school choice and private schools and all that stuff. Because like a lot of private schools popped up suddenly in 1978-1979 era.
Definitely.
And, you know, our public school enrollment has generally declined since then.
Although, before I've been thinking about it, I'm going to give a little credit to Jess here. I don't know the numbers exactly off the top of my head, but I still feel like private school and parochial students in Newcastle County are still a pretty small percentage.
All things considered, yeah.
All things considered, right? But that's I still get it, especially in, like, affluent parts of the county.
And so...
Which is why it also has a tax reassessment.
Yeah, exactly.
People sort of segregate.
Yes.
We'll have...
And also, like, asterisk, you should listen to episode XXX when you guys did the AI DuPont
And I'm going to talk about that, too, because that comes into that comes into one of the things I read about why these negotiations are so fraught, because, like, you got to, like, where we went to high school is, like, ingrained in our... It's so childish and immature, and it's this old school class marker, and we just have to get over it. I mean, people went to Dilawar, you know.
All of us.
Literally the last graduating class, Rob.
That's true. Larry Lambert went to Claymont.
Right.
You know, it's not there anymore.
Right.
My parents went to Conrad when it was a regular high school. Now it's like a science. Not for the sciences, for like algebra.
Yeah. For normal stuff. Yeah. Lunch.
Yeah. So like this is just the thing. And just because you were a Brandywine Bulldog or an AI DuPont Tiger. You had fun there. That's fine. We can rebrand.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles Lakers used to play in Minnesota. That's why they're called the Lakers. But now they're a LA, you know, that's the thing, the Lakers. You can rebrand. It's fine. You can get just as much out of it or more. So we have to get over this. We kind of have to grow up a little bit. Like, nobody cares where you went to high school. It's over. What we can do is the best thing to do now. And it has nothing to do with your sentimentality from 1967. Should clip that.
Yeah.
But it's not even changing the schools. It's just changing the district boundaries.
Well, it could change the schools.
Maybe. It didn't actually do that. They voted on a recommendation that has to go through the Board of Education and then gets voted on by the General Assembly. So everybody's acting like this is a done deal.
Oh, right.
Which
that
it
was
is
my,
not.
And that was my other question because I knew there was a process.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different stuff. So, it's not... It was a big deal that it happened. They've been working on this for, I think, 6 years. And they've had to have a lot of, like, very thinly veiled racial slurs thrown at them. So, like, shout out to Tizzy for... going through a lot of abuse these last few weeks.
Oh, yeah, there was like an actual, there was like a Zoom,
there was, I mean, there's
Zoom
actual,
bomber.
Yeah, I think, who just straight said the N-word over.
Right,
over
whereas, but then a lot of public commenters are using the expression social driver instead of saying the N-word.
Yeah.
Which I found that...
With the N-word, that's classic.
Yeah.
That's real classy.
You know, we don't want those kids in our schools, even though they're already in this... Like, the desegregation lines were already... Like, that's already what we're using. If you look at the demographics, like if you read through the reports... The demographics of the schools aren't even going to change that much.
That's why we're in a good section.
We're not actually, like adding busing back. Like, it's not.
Right.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous. Like, people are getting really worked up over what is ultimately, this is not really the big deal. The big deal is when they do the funding formula and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, that's going to be the thing that really changes things, hopefully for the better.
Well, that's kind of what I was hoping, and you brought it up. Like, you can kind of reshuffle this. Well, again, and people said, like, all the funding should be, like, they should all get the same funding from the state, and it should all be pooled and meted out as needed. Like, just because somebody grew up in an affluent neighborhood and can go to Brandywine, which is pretty decent, rather than somewhere else, you know, in Kent or Sussex, which maybe is not as fancy as Brandywine or whatever.
Here's the thing. For every reasonable idea that would change everyone's lives, for the better, there's a person in public comment who has 12 reasons why you're wrong, and it's like, there's a special education French horn program that this would disrupt. Where's the funding going to come from? And it's like, and they have like dozens of these, Rob.
Yeah, well, people have to be, nobody's taking away music education on a whole. If we did... Larry and the Stomberg family, we would raise an army and we would stop it. Now, maybe somebody can come up with a program that will maybe not exist anymore. Or even a school that might not. Maybe. We don't know. potentially.
Well, and that's a whole other thing right now. With
we got to get over that.
The charter school Wilmington McCain thing, for example, yeah. is a thing that, but that's separate from this,
right? But even so, like the organization and the administration of society has to sort of work with the society. That's how we're doing it, and that's just how it needs to be done. You know, it doesn't. You should make sure music is part of programs that kids have access to where they go to school. That's what should happen. There should be sports. There should be, you know, it's like you go to a post office in any town in this country, you can buy a stamp or send something somewhere. Doesn't matter where you live.
Mm-hmm.
You should have, you know, robust programs, however we need to do that. If we need to do what Reading Consortium, if that makes sense, we should do that. Because yeah, it's getting it to be goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
But all of these stories we will be covering.
Oh, people are also upset that teacher salaries will have to be like uniform and raised, and you're going to hear a lot of Democrats in 2026 talk about how that's a poor decision.
Read the history of the Wilmington Federation of Teachers to learn about leveling
up. So there's
going to
be so we can be on the lookout for Democratic legislators, arguing about why teachers being paid more is bad.
Yeah, they will have a more nuanced set of arguments.
I'm sure
about
they
that.
Will. I don't have to.
Yeah, but just get ready.
They'll be like, "Look, we have a budget hole from the federal government, and how can we? You know, we can't pay this fucking algebra teacher another $15,000. It'll bankrupt the state." You know how we used to solve this? We used to punch people in the face. Well, here's what I think we should do. I think we should say goodbye for now. We are going to record a little something for patrons for Christmas. We're going to do that now. If you're not a patron, you'll never hear it. You could become a patron for Christmas. For $5, $10 a month at patreon.com/thehighlandsbunker. And you would be able to hear the fun story that we're about to tell next about Christmas and politics of the French Revolution. Left is